Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Stem Cell Research. Today I ask, is stem cell research something a Christian should support or not? What does God say?
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart always be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. So God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Over the last several weeks, we've been going through a sermon series together on some major world topics, ones that are often highly and hotly debated. And so far, we've done same-sex marriage, creation and evolution. Last week, we did global warming. And this week, I'd like to look with you at the last in this sermon series, the last major topic on this. I'd like to talk with you today about stem cell research. And basically, this is research that is done on human stem cells. We'll talk more about that in a minute, through the scientific and medical community. And the aim of this research is to cure diseases and work miracles of modern medicine. So why would we, in a church, talk about something as scientific and medical? Why would we talk about stem cell research? Well, where is the debate? Well, first of all, we need to understand that stem cells in the human body can come from two places. First of all, it can come from an adult stem cell that you can find in your body, such as your skin, your spinal cord, umbilical cord blood, all over the body, really. And that's not debated at all. Christians and non-Christians and politicians on the right and the left all agree this is fine, doing research on those kinds of stem cells. But there's a second place that stem cells are harvested for research. And that second place is in a human embryo. That is, in the beginnings of a human life that is only 4 to 5 days old. And this is where the hot debate is. Is it ethical? Is it moral? Is it spiritually right with God to harvest stem cells from a little human baby only days old? So that's the big question we need to talk about today. And this is what is at the center of the political debate. This is what's at the center of whether to fund federally research on embryonic stem cells, those that come from an embryo. And the political candidates are talking about this pretty often. It's a major issue for the upcoming election. And I think it's important for us as Christians living in the modern world to have an understanding of these things so that we may be both wise Christians, know how to live in this world, in this present age, but also to be good Americans. Because God has blessed you to live in a land of democracy, a government of for the people, by the people, and you have the authority and power given you by the Constitution to vote for politicians and for laws that are in accord with what you believe to be right. So are you with me? We're talking stem cell research today, and we're talking especially about the research that is done from harvesting through human embryos. And so since we're talking about human embryos and the beginning of human life, let's look to begin with at God's Word, the author of life, about what He says about the origins of our existence. It says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it." This is from the author of life, the description of the origins of life. Begins with God having formed the man, as is described in Genesis 2, from the dust of the ground, the woman from his side. But then ever since then, every human being that's ever lived on earth has come through the union of a man and a woman, through the physical union that occurs there. So are you game to talk about the birds and the bees today? I think maybe you should give me some instruction that night. I don't know. Nevertheless, we're talking today about how human embryos are formed. We need to understand this. And so God has described that this is his will. It's be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. What a wonderful command to fulfill. Now, that's the spiritual side of things. God has described it for us. But what I'd like to do for you now is to take you through a very simple lesson in biology, the birds and the bees. Are you ready? Do you ever think your pastor would speak on this? Well, I will. Now, to begin with, let me take this out here. You'll see this in a moment. But to begin with, what happens when a man and a woman come together is that the man's seed goes in and meets the woman's egg, fertilizes the egg, and at this point, what you become, and this is really just amazing, you become a single-celled human being. Just one cell, one nucleus, 46 chromosomes, that is 23 from the woman, 23 from the man, and a human life begins at conception. And so if you could look microscopically down at how you began, and I'm looking at you all today, you look beautiful, okay? You began with looking just about like this, something that is so small you couldn't see it but with a microscope. A man, a woman has become a single-celled person. But then what happens next in the fallopian tube on the way to the womb is that this cell has the ability, by God's great decree and wisdom, because it's filled with DNA and chemical sequencing, all stretched out to tell this cell what to do, this single cell already has all the information for what color hair you'll have, what color eyes you'll have, how tall you'll be. It knows how to create a heart, a liver, eyelids, tear ducts, a tongue, pancreas, liver, skin, muscles, joints, bones, all kinds of things are contained in this one tiny little fertilized egg. And what happens is this egg then divides and multiplies and reproduces an exact replica. And then it does that again and produces another one. And over the course of several days, 4 to 5 days, eventually it becomes what is called a blastocyst, which is a collection of these cells all around, about 50 to 150 of them. You've multiplied. And at this point, the cells that are on the outside then become your placenta, the sac in which you live, and the umbilical cord that carries all the nutrients back and forth between you and your mother. Isn't God amazing? Say amen if you believe. Amen. And inside also is the other cells that are dividing inside this hollow ball. And the cells inside here are called embryonic stem cells. That is, the cells that are inside the blastocyst then are reproducing, dividing, and they begin after a while to differentiate. Some cells go over here, and somehow mysteriously, they know how to create a complex ear. Other cells go over and become an eye. Others to become a heart. Others form fingernails on your fingers. And all this is written inside these cells. And the important thing to understand is that these embryonic stem cells inside this blastocyst, after 4 to 5 days of a human life, scientists believe are able to change and adapt and to become all the different cells of your human body, as is evidenced by the fact that you are who you are. It obviously worked. And so the first thing I want you to understand today about your creation is you are unique. You are not just one in a million, my friends. You are one in 70 trillion and more possible sequences which God himself has designed you to be, a special human being crafted by God, the great artist, to make you a beautiful you. And so, as David said in Psalm 139, I praise you, Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Do you know it very well? Say amen today. You believe that? Oh, come on, you're pretty close. You're not quite, you know, up to the Baptist evangelical yet, but you're getting there. Thank you. But then what we also know is that after creation, in Genesis chapter 1, after paradise, man sinned. And what has happened to this body that was made perfect by God, which could not have gotten disease, could not be injured, could always regenerate itself, and would not age, after the sin of Adam and Eve, death entered into the world. That's in Romans 5 and Genesis 3. And so also entered disease and sickness and brokenness. I'm not saying that disease is the result of your sin if you have a sickness today, but disease is ultimately the result of sin, which allowed it to enter into the world, and we all have to deal with brokenness. But one of the amazing things about God is that he is a God of healing. Do you know that healing is really at the center of the whole Christian message? Jesus Christ came to heal, to open the eyes of the blind, to open mouths that could not speak, ears that could not hear. And we've also, as Christians, always honored medical science. In fact, Luke himself, who wrote most of the New Testament, Luke and Acts, was a doctor. That's why he has very complicated words sometimes. He was very well learned. And so we honor science. But what is written in the prophet Daniel, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, God spoke to him and said this, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." In other words, God has prophesied through Daniel that in the last days before Christ would come, knowledge among humans would skyrocket exponentially. And what have we seen in the last century? All kinds of discoveries in science, and also medically. And this brings us now to stem cells. In 1960 or so, scientists discovered and identified in the human body these stem cells and got very excited about them, and rightly so. You know why? Because finding stem cells in the human body means you have found a cell in the human body that can adapt and change and become different kinds of cells. It's flexible, and it is able to reproduce, regenerate, and renew itself. Do you understand what this means? Let me give you an example. In 2001, scientists took human stem cells from an adult person. In fact, they took it from his pelvic region, stem cells from over here. The guy had had a heart attack and had damaged heart tissue. They took the stem cells from here, placed them into the heart, 2001, and these stem cells adapted from being pelvic stem cells to heart cells. They changed and were able to regenerate the tissue and help the heart to heal. Can you see what a beautiful thing God has allowed us to understand? As knowledge increases, we can actually cure many diseases. For example, also, just a few years ago, there was a 20-year-old quadriplegic woman. Couldn't use her limbs at all. But she received a transplant of some stem cells from umbilical cord blood. And when she received them, they adapted to her damaged areas. They renewed them, and now she's able to walk with a walker. Someone that could not walk is now, through stem cells, able to use a walker and move. Also in Germany, stem cells have helped repair skull bone damage. And in Brazil, stem cells have helped to regenerate heart tissue, like we said before, on people who've had heart attacks or heart injuries. So this is an amazing thing. Amen? Amen, right. But as we said some moments ago, there are two ways to harvest stem cells. One way is through adult stem cells. That is, you can find stem cells, and scientists now know, in almost all the parts of your body, in bone marrow, in blood, in the brain, spinal cord, dental pulp, skeletal muscle, in your cornea and retina, in your liver and pancreas, in your umbilical cords and placentas from babies who have been born and no longer need the umbilical cord and placentas, and many more places you can find these. You can harvest them without any harm to anyone. You can research them, and you can develop cures. And to this day, there have been about 73 cures using stem cells and helping, such as brain cancer, ovarian cancer, skin cancer, testicular cancer, Hodgkin's lymphoma, acute heart damage, Crohn's disease, diabetes 1, corneal regeneration. All these, they've used stem cells from adult humans and cured. So, where is the debate then? The debate is on the other type of stem cell research, where you harvest it not from an adult human, that doesn't harm the person, but actually you go to the embryo, 4 to 5 days old, a blastocyst, and what the scientists want is this embryonic stem cell inside here. And they believe these would be the best stem cells to use. Why? Because they're not yet specialized, but actually they can become anything in your human body. That is, theoretically speaking. And so this is the silver bullet, they think, to healing a whole bunch of diseases. But the problem is, morally and spiritually is, how do you get these stem cells? Basically, historically, the way you get them is you have to come in here and destroy the blastocyst, destroy the human embryo, and look what happened down there on the floor now. I have the silver bullet. I have the embryonic stem cell from which I can create a stem cell line. But the problem is, along the way, the human embryo becomes this and is killed. And that's where the hot debate is. And so what I'd like to do with you now is discuss this morally and spiritually. Was this actually a human being, or was it just a set of cells clustered together and not yet a human being? And this is what's hotly debated. You know, in China, they are one of the most permissive countries with respect to embryonic stem cell research, because they don't believe a person is a human being until they're born out of the womb. That goes back with Confucianism perspective. And so all they're doing is harvesting cells. And that's why a lot of scientists have flocked to China, because they can do research there. But you also have countries like the United Kingdom, Britain, Australia, Belgium, India, Israel, Japan, South Korea, and Sweden that will harvest these. Now, where do you get an embryo, by the way? Do you know? You can get an embryo by in vitro fertilization, where you fertilize a woman outside of the body in a petri dish, and then you create an excess of cells. You take one that you want, the woman wants to create a baby, but the other ones are excess. They are frozen, and a lot of scientists want to use those frozen human beings, embryos, to do the research on and destroy them for the stem cells. The other way is you can do it through cloning. You can take a female egg that is unfertilized, remove its nucleus, take a nucleus from your adult body stem cell, a cell, and you can put that nucleus in here and then try to coax the egg to believe it's fertilized, and it'll start to grow an embryo. So you can clone a human being, destroy it, and then take its embryonic stem cell. So that's called therapeutic cloning. But what about America? Well, I think because of our Christian heritage in this country, we are much slower to do something like this. And although you can do it with private funding, the federal government, according to the Dickey Amendment of 1995, prohibits federal funding for any sort of research that destroys a human embryo. But I want you to be wise about these things, Christ Lutheran and Christians, because you're Americans and you can vote. And I just want you to know that in the upcoming election, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, John McCain do believe in relaxing the restrictions upon this kind of research that will destroy embryos. Mike Huckabee, who seems to be out of the race at the moment, does oppose relaxing those. And I don't say that to tell you who to vote for, but I do want you to be informed as to the candidates' positions on that. So it's a big issue, but is this a human being? What do you say? Well, the medical community has voiced this. If you are to study embryology, your textbooks, for example, The Developing Human that's used today, says this. The results of the union of an oocyte and a sperm, a zygote, is the beginning of a new human being. Human development begins at fertilization. If you read The Human Embryology, which is another textbook used today, male and female sex cells, which unite at fertilization to initiate the embryonic development of a new individual. And also another one says, fertilization is the important landmark because, under ordinary circumstances, a new, genetically distinct human organism is therefore formed. So there's no dispute in the scientific community, medically, in embryonics, that this is a human being, the embryo. But more importantly, I don't really care what medical says. I care about God's textbook. Amen? Amen. And what does God say? We're going to take a look at a few things. And I want you to understand how precious you are in his sight. In Psalm 51, David says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." She didn't conceive an it or a cluster of cells. She conceived me, a unique individual. We just read also in Jeremiah, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Isn't that lovely word? That God actually knew your name, had you in mind, knew you personally even before you were in here? So how much more now that you have become an embryo, are you sacred and beautiful in God's sight? So also, you could look at John the Baptist, which we just read about. Elizabeth says, when Mary entered the room, "Behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy." A babe, not a cluster of cells, not a fetus, not an embryo, simply, but the babe in my womb. And perhaps my favorite of all, and this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, is from Psalm 139, where David says, "For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst knit me together in my mother's womb." Isn't that beautiful? You are knit together. "I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. I know it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately wrought in the depths of the earth. Thy eyes beheld my unformed substance. In thy book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are thy thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee." So I want you to understand today that God loves each human being, makes them unique, and inside the womb is his special workshop. It is a holy of holy places, and therefore to invade it, either to destroy the embryo or to rearrange things in the embryo, I believe is wrong. And therefore, if this human embryo is indeed a human being, do you know what we're talking about here, folks? We're talking about murder. Because you are aborting a life that would otherwise live, and then freezing it, either destroying it or taking a cell and then freezing it. Would you do that to your brother who's alive as an adult? Would you slay and take off his arm and then put him into a freezer to be used later? I think this is wrong. And Exodus 20 says, "You shall not murder." In Genesis 9, "Whoever sheds the blood of man by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image." And so what am I saying today? Stem cell research, wonderful. Christians love it. Adult stem cell research, which has produced many cures so far, does not harm anyone, and adult stem cells, it's being found, can actually act like embryonic stem cells. They can become almost anything else in the body, they're discovering. But embryonic stem cells, often when they are used in animals, have created cancerous tumors, undesirable and abnormal growth, mutations. And for all the promise, the Princeton University president has said that for all the pronouncements in the field of stem cell research, it comes close to over-promising at best and delusional fantasizing at worst. Now, before we conclude, I have one final word here. Just in January of this year, a scientist has figured out a way to go into a blastocyst, before it gets to a blastocyst, when there are 7 or 8 cells, he's been able to go in and take one cell out to develop an embryonic stem cell line. And then supposedly, he says, these cells continue to multiply, and became another blastocyst. But the question is it morally ethical even to take stem cells from an embryo if the embryo supposedly is going to live? Well, my friends, I'll say it again. I believe in the womb is the sacred workplace of God. And I believe, and I'm going to say it boldly to you right now, that these scientists who are messing around with God's programming are like teenage recalcitrant boys hacking their way into a government computer that controls the launch codes for nuclear missiles. In other words, they are engaging in activity beyond what they're supposed to engage in. And they are entering into the secret workplace of God. And if they say that they can take a stem cell out of an embryo and have still a whole embryo, then what they're saying is the author of life doesn't know what he's doing. He didn't need that extra stem cell. In fact, the author of this book, we can just tear out Luke here. And it's still the Bible. It's just as good. Not so. If God is in there creating this embryo, dividing the cells, every one of those is important. And every one of them is holy and sacred to the Lord God. So I want you to know today, what I'm speaking to you is not my opinion. Thus saith the Lord, this is wrong. But finally, I want you to understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Jesus himself one day was a zygote. One day he was a blastocyst. And Hebrews 4 says, "Since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage." Jesus himself has gone through this process. I'm thankful that his process was not aborted or cut short or manipulated. I'm thankful that mine was not. And I pray that we would all work and stand up for those who are not able to speak for themselves. For this child is a person for whom Christ died, and every person is precious in his sight. Amen.